Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Cardinals, the pro baseball team.
The pro they had, baseball St. Louis Cardinals.
Okay, so you're telling me that their offense struggled today? That doesn't sound like them.
Right. I mean, like,
are we talking about the same team?
The team that has Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt and
the Cardinal way
Wilson
and all that.
Contreras, who's OPSing over 900 or whatever it is. Like, yeah.
And Nolan Gorman's on this team.
Gorman, yeah.
You know what happened today? Andy? The Cardinals hit one home run. Thank you to Wilson Contreras. The Chicago White Sox hit two. You know what that means? Your St. Louis Cardinals are 30th out of 30 in the basement by themselves in the home run department across Major League Baseball. They took over the top spot, the bottom spot, if you will, with the White Sox. So
love it!
That's competition right there, baby. The race for the bottom.
Love
the
it.
Race for 30th. The race for the power outage in MLB is now between the Cardinals and White Sox, and depending on the way you look at it, the Cardinals are winning it.
Well, man, they're going to go head-to-head this weekend, so that race will be center stage.
Makes it interesting, doesn't
it? Really does, doesn't it? It's on the first day of May, the Cardinals have 14 wins.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, that's not what you want.
No.
That's not where you want to be. They're a little below 500, Andy, and they're not too far of a cry from being right on the pace. Heck, I don't know math very goodly. Maybe they are on the pace of losing about, you know, 89, 90 games, 91 games like they did last year. It's not where they want to be, and you can find the culprit. It's not difficult. It's not a mystery at this point. You're going to blame the offense. Let me give you these ranks, Andy. I looked all these up. This is okay. Vetted statistical right. Analysis.
Yes.
Are you ready?
All right, I'm ready.
Cardinals ranking across Major League Baseball. I already gave you the home runs. They're 30th.
Yep.
They're dead last. They've hit 21 dingers. The White Sox have 22. The other offensive categories that you care about. Runs scored, that matters, right? Score more runs than your opponents, you can win the games. 28th in baseball in runs scored. I believe they're actually tied for 27th until the Mariners score a run today, but they're still playing, so there's still time for...
Yeah.
You would think they would sit. Now they are being shut out in the middle of the game. But anyway, they're at worst, they're tied for 27th, which is kind of the same as saying third from the bottom, 28th. OPS, 28th. In Major League Baseball. And another stat that I kind of like, Andy, I bet you do too. How do they perform in the clutch with runners in scoring position, batting average? And I think that's more important than OPS when you're talking about RISP, because a single does it. A single does the job typically. If they're in scoring position, you get a hit, bang, they score. That's the way it's supposed to work. Doesn't always work that way, but it should. Cardinals rank 27th in batting average with runners in scoring position. I think they're hitting about .202. So that's bottom four, bottom three, and the literal bottom in all of these major statistical offensive categories. It's not good. It's not a good trend, and it's not early anymore. You could say it's early. It's early relative to some months. We'll draft the months coming up in 525.
Right.
But it's May now. It's not going to be May. It's May.
It is May.
And we're longer than a month into the season. That's about a sixth of the calendar that's gone, right? You can't really do the it's early thing necessarily when it comes to this offense. You can say, hey, we think guys are turning the corner, as Ollie Marmol did after the game today. He said, we think Goldschmidt, he feels like he's in a better spot than he did, and some other guys too. But the numbers are going to have to match that at some point. And we've seen a sample size to this point to suggest, if nothing else, I don't think it's crazy to say, this Cardinals offense is not going to be as good as we thought or hoped it could be before the season began. It might not be the 28th offense in baseball by the time it's all said and done. But, Andy, they're not going to be a top six, top eight offense. I don't think there's any chance in the world of them bridging the gap between what that would look like and what they look like today.
And they scored, I believe, in four total innings during this entire series.
Brutal.
That's all that they scored in. And if you take away the ninth inning in game one yesterday, where they mustered up, you know, some sort of rally.
Three straight singles and a sack fly. That was it.
They got it done, but that's what they did. But, I mean, it's just, take that away, you've got a series sweep, and you've lost four in a row. It's not to say that the record is drastically different, but
that would be kind of different.
But it does. I mean, it sure feels different.
Five games under versus three. I'm telling you what, Andy, they're teetering. They're teetering back toward what they were last year. That's the concern. The bottom came out.
Yeah, by the way, right now, 73 win pace right now as we speak.
Okay,
that'd be 73 and 89.
Shout out to the Royals.
We'll talk Royals coming up, but this is very close to what last year ended up being, right?
71. They won 71 games last year. It's the same. The record is the same. You can tell me, and Ollie Marmol has and will, and I understand his position. This is kind of what he's got to say, whether he believes it or not. And I'm not suggesting he doesn't believe it. But he's got to say, guys are turning the corner. The offense is going to be there. But kind of like last year, I go back to a quote that I think Paul Goldschmidt gave in, whether it was May or June, it was still relatively early, first half of the season. He said, we think we're a better team than this, but the good thing about baseball is it's a fair game. It's a fair game because over 6 months and 162, you're going to find out what kind of team you are.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the Cardinals did last year. They just have to own that they weren't a very good team. And this year's team made some changes. And I would argue that the changes they made, Andy, were pretty good and so far have been effective. Kyle Gibson, holy smokes.
Great.
He went toe-to-toe with Jack Flaherty, who was unbelievable against the Cardinals. You knew he would be.
Right.
But the fact that Gibby goes 9 strikeouts, 7 innings, pitched longer in the game than Flaherty did despite giving up a run, he was great, has been great. Kyle Gibson, every start he's had, 6 or more innings. 6 starts, he's done that. That's what you needed last year.
Yeah.
Had your staff and you didn't get it. Lance Lynn's been pretty good. We'll talk about Michaelis and Steven Matz. I think those are guys that you maybe feel a little bit differently. Michaelis came around today, but you're going to get what you're going to get from Miles Michaelis. Kind of middle of the pack, 4.5 ERA, I think, ultimately. He's going to be a quality start machine. 6 innings, 3 runs. That's what he did today. But that's kind of, you know, that's the number 3, number 4, generously in a rotation. Steven Matz, no idea what we're going to have to get into with him right now. Doesn't look great. Sonny Gray, they fixed the thing that was the problem, Andy, largely. We do have to talk about the bullpen, too, I think.
Yes.
But that's the thing that's concerning. The moves that were made were to address the pitching. It's not perfect, but it's a lot better than it was last year. But where's this offense? Where'd it go, and how do they find it?
Even last year's offense, you take last year's offense and put together this year's pitching staff, at least so far, and you are over 500, I think, unequivocally.
That's interesting. That's an interesting, and like, I would try to offer the caveat. I don't disagree with you. I would try to offer the caveat of give me last year's offense before like September 1st. Because remember at the end of last year, everybody was on the IL.
Yeah.
And I think now offhand, I don't know what those numbers are from last year. I know that they had a rough finish in terms of their production last 6 weeks or so because they just kind of
weren't trying.
They traded off the deadline. Yeah. They mailed it in. They had guys, if you had a hangnail, you were on the IL and ended your season. But last year's offense still did, despite all of that, tie for 13th in OPS across the whole season, which is about middle because I think they tied with a couple teams. Runs scored, they were 19th, which I think it makes sense that they weren't a very clutch team last year, so they scored runs at a rate lower than their OPS would indicate. But they were kind of middle-of-the-pack offense. And, yeah, I think if you're middle-of-the-pack with the pitching you're getting right now, yeah, you're at least, what are they, 14 and 17?
Yeah, you're
probably 16 and 15,
16, 17 wins or something like that.
I think so.
Pitching's
been great.
It flips a few games. That's all it was.
Yeah, because they're losing close. They're winning close, but they're losing close too this year.
You pick two or three games where you didn't score 0 or 1 run, and
it's crazy.
It's different.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Like, that's all that we're talking about here. And so just the fact that, again, throughout this entire series, and I mean, I guess yesterday's second game was the exception, but they still couldn't pair it well with the pitching and couldn't win
and
the
slugfest. And that's the bullpen talk that we'll get into that.
Right,
I think that's relevant, too. They have half of a bullpen right now rather than a full bullpen.
Yes.
And that's something that may need to be addressed, but the offense is the primary concern. I get it. They scored six in that late game yesterday, but they largely it's this offense that's holding them back from being the contending team that we all kind of, whether you thought they could be it before the year or not, I certainly think folks were hopeful that they'd fix the issues and get it rolling. Pitching's better, 4.03 ERA. That's their team ERA, and that's about...
It's middle of the pack,
middle of the pack, and there's some blow-up games, too, within that.
Yeah.
When you give up 11 because Gallegos gives up four, doesn't record an out, that's going to balloon a team ERA. But those games count. I get that they all count. They've largely done what they've needed to do pitching-wise, and the offense is one of the worst in baseball. And we can keep saying we don't think it's going to stay that way, but we at least have to maybe realize that the upside of this being a top five, top 10 offense might be gone. That just may not exist for this team this year.
Well, they won't finish that way for sure. And even if they played at that pace for the rest of the season, I mean, you would hope that, but yeah, I don't see the signs. Like, I get it. Ollie Marmol after the games, these guys did a nice job. We saw some good quality at bats. You know, you hear the term quality at bats. Arenado's coming around. You know, Goldie's there. He's going to be coming out of it soon. It's just, at some point, the results have to matter. At some point. Like, I get it. Ollie Marmol, it's not necessarily his fault. But, again, when you talk about I heard nothing but positives in the interview that Bally Sports Midwest put up after the game. And, like, Miles Michaelis did a nice job. And, you know, Paul Goldschmidt did a nice job. Arenado did a nice job. You scored one run today. You scored one run.
They lost 4-1.
A solo homer. No one else could do anything.
And that's bad, too, by the way, because if your offense, and I know that this is not the way every game goes for the Cardinals, but for a while, I would hear the criticism from fans, well, the only way we can score is if we hit the long ball. And some days it feels like the only way they're scoring, they're not putting together rallies. Now, they did, be able to come up with that rally in game one yesterday, where they won 2-1 because of the ninth inning rally. But game two, 3-run homer by Burleson, Donovan homered, and that was the bulk of the way they came up with their runs in game two last night.
Yeah.
And then today, solo home run. If that's your method to scoring runs and you're last in baseball in homers, uh-oh. You know, like, it's not a good combo.
Every once in a while, we're going to win a game because we're hitting home runs.
The team that only scores via the homer and can't string hits together, but has a top 10 home run total, I don't really argue against that team's offense because home runs are a very efficient way to score. But if that's kind of the makeup of the team and you're last, you're worst in baseball in homers, it probably doesn't stack up very favorably for your team. Call me crazy.
I just don't get it. I understand Ollie Marmol has to try and see the positives. He can't be too high, can't be too low at any point during this season. That's what a manager's job is.
Be hard to be high right now unless you're smoking
that's
something.
That's the thing. Right? I understand. I mean, he wants to be optimistic.
He has to be positive, though.
He has to be positive. He can't just sound the alarm bells. Once that happens, the clubhouse starts to stir. And so he has to make sure that he calms that down and realizes that the process could take a while. It better be sped up at some point, especially with some of the key bats. And you can't have these types of outings when your starting pitcher goes out there. And no, he wasn't perfect. He had some rough moments. He gave up three runs, and the Tigers capitalized on it. He pitched exactly what you would expect him to pitch.
He pitched how he was designed to pitch, how this whole rotation, except for Gray, which he should be a Cy Young candidate, and is.
Yeah.
But everybody else is designed And not Steven Matz either, because he's not performing, but Michaelis, Gibson, and the other guy, Lance Lynn. I forgot his name for a second. They're supposed to go six innings and give up three runs. That's what the Cardinals effectively are asking of them. And in Lynn's case, he has not been very much of an innings eater to this point. A lot of five-inning outings. They hopefully will see more of those six, seven-inning outings from him. But it's with the knowledge that you're going to be in the strike zone a lot. You're not going to give away free bases, but you're going to be in the strike zone, and so you're going to get hit sometimes, and that's going to lead to some occasional crooked numbers. But if you go six and give up three, you're supposed to win that game 5-4 if you're the St. Louis Cardinals. That's how they were built. Yes. I'm not arguing that it was a good strategy at this point, because it might not have been, because this offense might not be that offense to score five runs consistently. But they're losing a lot of the 4-1, 3-1, 3-0 type of games this season because the offense is underperforming. The pitching, it's not great. It's fine. But that's all you were asking it to be. You didn't come in saying Kyle Gibson needs to be a Cy Young candidate. That wasn't why they signed him.
Right.
But you're actually getting better than average performances from Gibby. His ERA is 3.79. If we'd have played the ERA game in December and said, hey, I'll give you the over, I would have slammed in. I'm hitting the Staples It's Easy button. I'm doing it. I'm making it easy. That's great for Kyle Gibson, who's somebody you kind of figured back end of your rotation. The pitching is doing its job. Where's the offense? This team can't thrive if Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt finish the year with a combined 19 homers or whatever the pace is for him right now. Might be a little bit more than that. But also, what do they have? Three combined? Goldie's got two,
yeah.
I think. Arenado's got one. That's the pace. They're a sixth of the way through. Six times three is 18.
Right.
They're cooked. The Cardinals are cooked if they don't get home run production from those two players. I don't see... Like, look, Gorman has to do more. You want Jordan Walker here instead of figuring things out in Memphis. It's not just those two. But those two are making, you know, $60 million combined, whatever it is. And they are perennial MVP candidates until maybe they aren't anymore. And if they're not, then this team was built under a flawed premise. And maybe John Mozeliak couldn't have known that, right? You could have seen the signs a little bit if Goldie and Arenado were going to decline. And look, it's early enough for them to have a big week, and then we look up and they have an 800 OPS, both of them. That's possible. So I'm not burying these guys just yet, but I am suggesting that if that doesn't change, and not just the hitting singles and taking walks and hitting occasional doubles, but like literally hitting the ball over the fence for those two players, if that doesn't change, I don't know that the situation for the Cardinals can change all that much, barring just a Herculean effort by the other seven in the daily lineup. And that's maybe undue pressure to put on a pair of players, but that's your cornerstone. That's your franchise. Until it isn't. And they came into this year thinking, last year was an aberration. Those two guys can bounce back a little. Cardinals still waiting to see it. And not just the, all right, 1-for-4, took his walk. Okay. They might need more than that, Andy. I know it's not all one guy to fix it, but those two are going to have to probably carry the load.
That is the biggest missing piece to what this offense was supposed to be. And that was the case 3 weeks ago, too. And we're still waiting on it to come to fruition. It still hasn't. So
has it gotten better? Sure, but not by enough.
But not
to where
enough
you go.
To push the margin where the Cardinals can feel good about going into May and being over 500. They very easily could have been over 500, even with all of those struggles early in the year. Mm-hmm. They could have very easily been 16-15 right now, and we'd be talking a little bit differently today.
Talking a lot differently, I think. Right? But you're right though. It wouldn't have taken much. But you look at these two. Say what you will about last year's Cardinals offense, and it wasn't a great offense. The way the numbers say it was about middle of the pack, but maybe even a little bit below middle if you count runs scored as the main metric, which in fairness you probably should, because even though there are underlying metrics that could tell you why you do or don't score runs, how many runs you score is sort of the bottom line in this sport of baseball.
Yeah.
You look at last year's offense and say what you will about it. You did get an 800 OPS out of Goldie. You got a 775 OPS out of Arenado. That was considerable decline compared to what they had been doing, but that was something. If you're even getting that from those two guys right now, you probably win a couple extra games too. It's going to have to happen. It just is. And the rest of them have to follow suit. But those are the two that you go, look, they're being paid to do it. They've got the pedigree to do it because they've done it every year they've ever played. And hopefully for the Cardinals' sake, they start doing it to the both of them at a rate higher than what we're seeing right now.
Got to happen at some point, and in the next month and a half at the very least. And if you want to see the Cardinals go anywhere other than just middling through the season, peddling their way out, maybe being sellers of the deadline again, who knows? But, I mean, it's just not going the way that it should for this offense. Cardinals, of course, lost their series in the last 24 hours or so with all three games being played very close to each other. And now the White Sox will come to town. So you figure, oh, a chance to beat up on a bad team. But at what point do we kind of consider the Cardinals a bad team, too? They're not as bad as the White Sox. I'm not saying that.
But, nobody is, though. Right. I mean, that's
it's a low bar. But, I mean, as far as getting back on track this weekend, you'd have to think that you at least need 2 out of 3 from this weekend to feel good about going into May and things of that nature. It's hard to shake when, again, your offense is lifeless most of the time.
It's been an issue. I mean, I know, again, they scored 6 runs in the second game yesterday, so that's good. But more often than not, the stat about the number of times they've scored 3 or fewer, it's so interesting that they're faring so poorly in that category of being able to get more than 3 runs, because that's literally the way that they were built to need to succeed, is by scoring at least 4, because of the way their pitching staff was designed. Guys who would eat some innings, but with the plan that would kind of come with the occasional crooked number and giving up 3 or 4 runs in a start on more than occasionally, like a decent often amount of the time, that was going to be the case. So you have to score runs to combat that. And the idea is, if you have a pitching staff that goes deeper, it's okay that they give up some runs, because your bullpen's going to be fresher and therefore more effective. So you can hold opponents to 4 runs a game. You're going to have to score 4 to get to extra innings, score 5 to win the game. That's the path they built for themselves. And here's an offense that ranks in the bottom of the league in basically every category. That's not a good combination.
No. You have to dig yourself out of that some way, somehow, if you want to have this season mean something more than just a middling record. And we'll see if the Cardinals can get off the mat at this point, but they're a month in, you're 20% done with the season, and 3 games under 500 isn't terrible, but you realize now that this offense will continue a downward trajectory if you don't fix things quickly. And look, a lot of people come for the hitting coach too, right? Everyone's coming for Turner Ward.
They always do, though. Right? Doesn't matter who it is.
Doesn't matter who the hitting coach is. He needs to be fired if the team hits terribly for a month. Always, right? All the time.
Well, I mean, hey, longer than a month. If it's bad, it's bad, and I get that. But I still wonder if it's not the players that have to bear more of the responsibility.
That's
look, when it was Jeff Albert, I mean, going back to John Mabry, it was his fault, and then it was Jeff Albert's fault. Even though they actually had some pretty good underlying numbers when Albert was here. And now it's Turner Ward's fault. And it's like, look, those guys are getting paid for a reason, so they do have a responsibility to be giving the players the best info and coaching them up and pointing out different things that they notice. But I think we kind of scapegoat the hitting coach in general when it comes to bad offensive baseball, because we don't really see them. We see the players out there, but we like have this nameless, faceless, I mean, they've got a name, but they almost are kind of faceless because you don't really see them.
No.
And so I feel like it's easier for fans to sort of, if you're going to build a mob around somebody, it makes sense to just kind of pin it on the hitting coach, because one day you might be mad that Paul Goldschmidt goes over and strikes out 3 times. But if he gets a double and an RBI the next day, well, it's not as effective to blame Goldie. But that day they lose because, you know, Nolan Gorman has a golden sombrero. And so what's the thread that you can connect to all these players and you can blame no matter what when the offense is bad? Well, it's the guy coaching them up. It's the hitting coach's fault. I get it. I think it's kind of easy. I think it's a little bit of a scapegoat situation where it doesn't fully reflect what's going on. But you can make a case that organizationally it might go deeper. It might go into developing this talent, because they've had top prospects littering the top 100 lists for a number of years, but it doesn't seem they've really been able to develop a true star player offensively or pitching, to be honest with you. But strictly speaking of the lineup, they haven't really developed that guy that's been a top prospect and then has hit on his potential and turned into one of the best hitters in baseball. They have not had that in a long, long time. So it may not be just the hitting coach. You can keep changing hitting coaches. Whatever it is organizationally, I think it could be a deeper question of why the Cardinals haven't been able to come up with those types of players in, I mean, I don't know since when. They're trading for their organizational cornerstones like Goldie and Arenado. They traded for a Wilson Contreras, who's the best hitter in the lineup right now. Who's the homegrown player offensively that has turned into a superstar? Because I just don't see it. It hasn't happened. And yeah, I think if you want to blame that on some of their struggles, that's fair. I don't know that I'm going to go hyper-local to it's the hitting coach not telling these guys who used to hit a whole bunch of home runs that they ought to hit some more home runs. Like, that's obviously a gross oversimplification.
Yeah.
But that sort of feels like what some of the criticism from fans. And in fairness, the fans are going, well, like, they stink, so why do they stink? We're trying to come up with the answers the same way that the team might be trying to come up with the answers. But it's, I don't know that it's always as simple as, well, the hitting coach is not telling them the right stuff. Like, is a hitting coach supposed to say, hey, hit those fastballs right down the middle that you're whiffing?
Right.
Like, what do you do at a certain point?
They probably are telling them the right stuff. At some point,
maybe
the hitter's got to go out and do the right stuff.
They have to do the right thing. Yeah. I don't know what's being said. This coach, it's always the same conversation because we don't actually know what's being preached in the clubhouse or who's listening to the hitting coach and who's ignoring him and who's, you know, we don't really know the ins and outs of that. Rarely do we find out. Maybe after the fact. Guy like Matt Carpenter comes out and says, yeah, I really wasn't buying in enough the way I should have when they were trying to fix me. And then he has a bit of a resurgence when he leaves the Cardinals and got that chance with the Yankees a couple years ago. But typically, as it's going on, we don't really know. And it seems like they all have good things to say about Turner Ward. I don't think there's a, like with Jeff Albert, there are some players that just didn't like him. There are some players that didn't respond well to his style and they would go to their own guy on the side. That happened. I don't really get the sense that that's the case with Turner Ward. I could be wrong. Maybe a year from now we're going, oh yeah, half the clubhouse didn't like him. That's not the sense I have. I think he is well liked. Paul Goldschmidt is that very good relationship, but Paul Goldschmidt's one of the big names struggling. So is it the fact that he's tuning out Turner Ward? No, I don't think so. Is it that Turner Ward, maybe they're too comfortable? That could be. Like, if the Cardinals are too comfortable and they're not, you know, it's not to say that they don't hate to lose. That's going to come out wrong if I say that. But is it just this kind of feeling of inevitability of like, well, we kind of were bad last year and we're kind of in the middle this year. And, you know, there's nobody in there maybe turning over a table in the clubhouse, you know, firing people up and saying this isn't acceptable and breaking stuff. That's not really appropriate behavior either. But you know what I mean? Like, where's the edge a little bit with the Cardinals team? Does it take hitting a rock bottom again to find that edge? Because if that's the case, that's not good. Because last year they hit a rock bottom and then it was like, well, it's too late now. It's too late to be able to come out of it. I think there are good conversations that are happening behind closed doors, but whatever the mixture is, the Cardinals don't have it right now. The same players may be able to come up with it in 3 weeks, but today I don't think the numbers are dictating that they have it, that they're locked in, dialed in, and maybe that's a work in progress, but at some point it'll either happen or this team won't make the playoffs again, and we'll be having some hard conversations about everybody's jobs at that point.
Yeah, at this point, if the hitters are not doing their job and it's carrying out an underlying problem that all of a sudden comes to light, then I think it's deeper than the hitting coach at that point. So, look, you can come for Turner Ward if you want, but I don't think you can pinpoint the exact reason why Turner Ward isn't a good hitting coach. And if you can't, then don't come for him. Like, come for the players who are actually supposed to execute when they go out there to the plate and try to put together run support for the pitchers that are doing enough right now. They're doing their job, but the Cardinal hitters are not.